And now, you're tuned into RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
This is the RBLR Rays Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Dobb, along with my co-host, Pat Davenport. Pat, is tonight going to be the greatest baseball game ever played?
Yes. Maybe. How do I feel? Listen, I've got some thoughts about the USA team. Listen, I've got no reason to root for the USA team, by the way. Those new to the show know that my country in the US, we've had some run-ins in the past. I have no rooted interest in the United States. I'm way more interested in the Dominican Republic and mainly Junior Caminero going crazy. But also, like, I'm just going to say it. I'm going to be controversial. I'm just going to say my thoughts. Sorry, Team USA fans. Your team lacks sauce. Your team lacks sauce. Your team lacks personality. Your team has this fake locked-in gimmick to make it look like they care when they don't. Cal Raleigh not going to high-five Randy Arozarena.
What's going on with that, man? That's such a hardo. Like, what are we doing? Come on.
Yeah, it's fake tough guy, fake locked in, fake mentality monsters. If you were such mentality monsters, you didn't have to rely on Italy to get past the group stage, all right? So, like, I hope the Dominican Republic wipes the floor with these posers and let the real baseball teams actually care about playing baseball and playing in this tournament go to the final.
I think my ideal outcome for tonight's game is that it's a close game until the last couple innings. Cleave comes in and pitches a flawless seventh, taking over for some other reliever who did a poor job, and he comes in and steals the show. Jax does the same thing in the eighth, and then Junior hits an absolutely monster shot off of Clay Holmes or whoever they've got in there to close it out for Team USA, and the DR wins. And I hope that it results in Mark DeRosa never managing Team USA again. Sorry, Mark DeRosa. You seem like a nice guy. I like you on whatever baseball show you're on. Dude, how do you not know the rules? Bro, like, right. You're the manager of Team USA. And like, all the backtracking that has been attempted to be done since then. Dude, you didn't know the rules. You didn't know the rules, and you almost cost Team USA. Well, I think, can you imagine how mad Fox would have been? Fox that carries this whole thing, if USA gets quartered, or what, gets grouped, and then doesn't even make it. He gets grouped at the World Baseball, not at the World Cup, the World Baseball Classic. It would have been a disaster. And so whatever happens tonight, I'm probably rooting for the Dominican Republic, even though I'm an American, because I think similarly, there is no sauce on the American team. And I think it's because their leader has no sauce. Mm-hmm. Aaron Judge has no sauce whatsoever. And so that's their best player. And so maybe if they brought Brandon Lau, they would have had more sauce, but we'll never know. but we do know that what does has a lot of sauce is this show. And we're so glad that you are here to enjoy it with us. This is your first time joining us. We're so glad to have you. We're getting real close to the beginning of the season. We have one more show. And then the next time we see you after that, baseball will be occurring during the regular season. So we're excited about that. I'm so glad you guys have stuck with us all offseason. If you have. We're going to have a great show for you today, recapping WBC. So we've already done a little bit of that, but we'll do some more. And then we'll also talk a little bit about spring training. A lot of storylines developing there, as we expected. The position battles, lots to talk about there. And then we're going to take a little peek at the division to see, you know, what do we think our chances are? Where does the Rays fit within that division? Lots to talk about. We hope you enjoy. If you do enjoy the show, do us a huge favor. Drop us a subscribe over on YouTube if you haven't already, or drop a follow on whatever platform you enjoy the show on. Helps us out so much. It's free. Doesn't cost you anything. Just helps us out a whole bunch. So really appreciate you if you do. Pat, any other takeaways from the WBC so far?
Huge upset last night.
Yes.
With Venezuela beating Japan. I think Japan, you know, the reigning champions, being knocked out in the quarterfinals is pretty crazy. Shout out Venezuela. Wasn't it Willier Abreu that hit the big home run there? So that was great to see. Italy beating Puerto Rico, I think, would have been considered an upset too. So that's a really interesting semifinal. I'm rooting for Team Italy. I talked last week about how much I was like, don't sleep on Team Italy. They've got a good league out there. So shout out Team Italy. I hope they get to the final. Maybe they win the whole damn thing. Do it for you.
That would be fun. I think that, you know, we're talking about like sauce. That game, ton of sauce. Ton of sauce in that game.
Yeah, yeah. And we ain't talking marinara. We're talking great personalities all across the field there.
Espresso, everything.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they've got Aaron Nola, who, like, you know, if you want a big game, he can do that for you. He can start. Adam Ottavino. And then, like, in terms of the hitters, you've got Vinny Pasquantino, Jack Caglione. Yeah, fun team. Yeah. But there's nobody where you go, wow, this team should be beating Team USA. This team should be beating Mexico. Like, even beating Puerto Rico, you'd go, I'd take the team of Francisco Lindor and all those guys on it. But really cool there. My ideal scenario is a Dominican-Italy final, and then I'm like, it's a win-win for me. It's going to be a fun one. I love the World Baseball Classic. I love it when the teams that care really are, like, you know, putting their full emotion behind what they're doing. It's really, really cool.
Yeah, I think my other takeaway from watching the WBC is that pitching is really under-discussed. When we talk about the makeup of these WBC teams, frequently what is the headline are the hitters, right? Mm-hmm. It's the, you know, the guys that are bringing in runs. It's what's talked about. But I think what is winning and losing games is pitching. And I think you saw that last night with Venezuela versus Japan. Japan just was not able to get out of innings. They gave up 6 runs unanswered to Venezuela at one point. And so I think anytime you do that, you're just going to have a hard time winning. And I think it's something where, you know, talking about Team USA, they do have a decent amount of depth from a pitching perspective. And I do wonder if that will end up being, you know, a big deal. I don't know as well the Dominican depth. There's lots of great pitchers there, but I don't know. I'd be curious to see how their depth does in a game like tonight where it's going to be haymakers. Like 2 or 3 runs is not going to be enough to win this game. There's going to be haymakers thrown both sides. But I think one thing that I'm going to be watching, you know, we're going to talk about the division later. Aaron Judge, does he have some clutch in him? Because he did not earlier in this WBC. And I think, you know, if you're going to be the best player in the world, which I think, you know, folks who like Aaron Judge would like to say that he is, you've got to perform in the clutch moments. And I know that, like, I think all the people that say the WBC doesn't matter, I think those people have, like, just disappeared off the face of the earth, because it clearly does. It matters to everybody who's playing in it and everybody who's watching it. It's just electric baseball. And so it's like saying the World Cup doesn't matter and, like, you only care about the Premier League. Maybe there's people that think that, but I think that's got to be the minority of people that think that. And so I think it would be cool if we get to a place where the WBC is, like, thought of similarly as the World Cup. It will never be the same. It's just not going to be. It's also more frequent. Mm-hmm. But it would be nice if we had a similar type of vibe around it that there is around, like, the World Cup or the Olympics. So I hope that we get there
eventually. And with that, I'm going to ask a silly European baseball fan semantic question here.
Okay.
So if the WBC gets to a point where it gets really, really big and it really, really matters, it's not considered like a really good preseason tournament, are you allowed to keep calling yourselves the world champions if you win the World Series? People who win the Premier League or win the the Champions League, they never call themselves the world champions because they're like, there's other tournaments going on across the world.
So I think here's the thing with that. And this is, and like, I'm not
especially
trying to
be, if especially if Japan or the Dominican Republic or Italy win. That's like a few tournaments in a row that Team USA haven't won. So you can't just say the USA have the best baseball players, because
I think that's true. I think the counter to that is the majority of the players that are playing at the top level of each of those teams all play in, you know, in Major League Baseball. And So even though it's, I see where you're coming from, but at the same time, when you look across almost every one of these teams, even the players that are playing for other countries, a lot of them were born in America. A lot of them live in America, and almost all of the big names play in America, and almost everybody would play in America if they had the opportunity, because the money is different. Now, I don't think that necessarily could be the case forever. Like, I think as some of these, like, I think the Dominican League is gaining some popularity. I think there are definitely leagues in other countries where eventually they could, you know, talk about rivaling America. But at the moment, Major League Baseball is just so much bigger than any other international league out there. So I think it's still fair to say the world champions, because I think that when you look at the best Major League Baseball teams, they're a conglomeration of great American players and great international players. So that team ends up being a really, really good team. Like, I don't know, like, would Team DR have beat the Dodgers? Like, I don't know.
Maybe if they weren't, maybe. So let's say all the Dominican Republic players also could not play for the Dodgers. Everyone just defected to Team DR.
Sure.
Maybe.
But at the same time, like, most of, like, if like, again, this is not a great example, because like, I mean, actually it's not a terrible example, because most of the best Dodgers players outside of Shohei, there's a decent amount of America. I don't know if Mookie would play for Team USA.
I think he has in the past.
I'm pretty sure he has in the past. So yeah. I think that when you look at that team, especially, and again, I think where this sort of makes it's a little bit more, it's also more tricky, because there's also a lot of big players that aren't playing in the WBC for reasons not in their control. And like, sure, if we're talking about what needs to change going forward, we need to look at that. Like, I understand you don't want players getting hurt, but there's a lot of really good baseball players that did not play in the WBC because of reasons like that. Like, I think it's very possible Drew Rasmussen would have been pitching for Team USA, but I guarantee his insurance would not have cleared him for that, because he is one of the 10 best pitchers, American pitchers, I think, right now, starting pitchers. But I don't think that it was ever a thought for him because of his injuries. And so, again, I think they should be able to make that decision. But right now, I think the decision's being made for them.
Yeah, 100%. And that's maybe a scheduling of when they do it. I don't think they should do it in the preseason. Yeah. They should probably aim to do it like when there's definitely no other baseball on the horizon. Like the World Cup, right? We do that when it interferes with zero other football. We make sure that no other football is happening. And we don't do it during the preseason or whatever.
The hard part of it is that you'd almost have to do it right after the World Series, because you can't do it in like December, because at that point pitchers will have they will not be warmed up anymore. And then you're also having to have, you know, like, let's say Paul Skeens, right? He doesn't make the playoffs. So then he's now having to keep warm for an additional, 2 months? From the end of the season till the WBC. I think the thing that makes baseball so much different and makes the WBC harder to do, and I think why they haven't done baseball in the Olympics, is because it just doesn't, there's no good place to put it. There's no good place, because it's either where it is right now or right after the World Series. I don't think there's anywhere in between.
It would need to be like when the Dominican Winter League is kind of on, I think.
Yes. Which is, So, I mean, it's tough. It's tricky. I think it's worth exploring different times to put it, to maybe allow for some, you know, other players to be playing, because they've already been warm for a full season. I don't know. I think it's at least worth exploring, because this is such a great event, and whatever we could do to make it better should be done.
100%. 100%. people love playing for their national team. It's always really fun. And it's great to root for players that you wouldn't always root for because they're usually playing against you.
Yes.
So it's, you know, how often am I going to be like, yes, Jazz Chisholm Jr.? Never. Except in the World Baseball Classic because he put on Team GB's uniform. So it's great. Speaking of teams that we usually wouldn't root for, I think in a minute we're going to talk a little bit about how we've talked a lot about how the Rays have changed and how they stack up against their, you know, the 2025 version of themselves, but we haven't really talked much about how the division has changed and how they stack up compared to the Rays. So we're going to talk a little bit about that today. But before we do that, is there anything from spring that you want to talk about back at home? It's hard to care, isn't it? When the WBC is on.
It's definitely hard. It's definitely hard to disconnect from how meaningful those games are and how intense they are to come back to spring training. It's definitely a little challenging, but I do think there are some things worth talking about over on the spring training fields. And one of them is kind of an update around somebody that I talked about previously, and that's Ben Williamson. And I previously criticized him a little bit for his defense. And I don't know that I take back that criticism necessarily. I still think he's a very good defender that I don't know if shortstop's his best position. But he has had a really nice spring at the plate. Currently sitting at a 1.0 OPS, slugging very well, has hit 2 home runs this spring. It just looks really, really good from behind the plate. And it's very interesting to me because I start to wonder now if he can play shortstop, does he get the opening day start over Walls? If Lux, who I believe has returned to games, but is, you know, not played very many games because of injury. And like, are we concerned that, you know, that injury could linger at all? He hasn't looked great. He's only played 3 games, Lux has, since coming back from the injury. He hasn't looked very good. So does he have that opening day? You know, could he end up on the bench on opening day and Williamson could end up at second base? I just think that bears watching because as you know, to sort of contrast that, Carson Williams has also looked quite good over the spring. And so it's just those two guys are very interesting to me in the way that they've performed. They've taken advantage of the opportunities during spring, I think, very well.
Yeah, 100%. It's an interesting conundrum. I don't know which way it's going to go. I don't know which way the Rays are going to take it. I really don't. Because it's hard. It's almost hard to envision a future where Taylor Walls does not make camp. Just because of how the Rays, you know, what the Rays think of him as an organization and as a player. Yeah. But, you know, if Williamson and Williams outperform him, maybe. I have a feeling that it might be Walls and Williamson that start the season, and Williams still gets some time to cook in AAA a bit longer. That's my initial feeling. But again, if these trends continue for another week, it's going to be a really, really difficult battle. I mean, Williamson currently leads the team in hits, tied for the lead in home runs, has the same amount of walks as he does strikeouts.
Yeah.
You already talked about the OPS. Like, it's hard to ignore those kinds of numbers with what is presumed to be good defense.
Yeah, and I think what also is adds another wrinkle to it is Taylor Walls has also looked very good from behind the plate. He is getting on base over 400, you know, over 400 on base percentage, over 500 slugging, has looked very good. And so, again, I don't look at these stats as, oh, I think they're going to hit to a 1.0 during the regular season. It's more of a, hey, these guys look good. They look comfortable. That's what we're looking for from these guys during spring. I want to see them look comfortable. I want to see them look confident at the plate and on defense, and they're doing that. And so it gives me more. I think the guy who should be the most worried right now is Gavin Lux, because right now you've got Williamson looking great. You've got Walls doing what he always does with, you know, looking as good as he can look, you know, from an offensive perspective. Carson Williams is doing what we've asked. He is almost at a 400 on base percentage, which is amazing for him. Where that's exactly what we want to see. He sacrificed the slugging a tiny bit so far this spring to get the on-base percentage up, which I'm totally fine with. That's a great change for him. He's only struck out 4 times so far this spring, so he's not just racking up strikeouts. And so when you then go to Gavin Lux, he's been hurt, only played in a couple of games, hasn't looked great in the games that he's played. It is like, I'm intrigued to see how that's going to play out as we get closer to opening day.
100%. Could there be a world where all 3 of them are on the team at the same time?
All on the 3. Roster? I don't, unless one of them is capable of playing the outfield, I don't think so. I mean, I guess Lux could play the outfield a little bit. Maybe it's tough because if you did that, you would have to then lose either Valade. You'd have to probably lose Valade lose Valade or like Valade or Fraley. One of those two is probably gone in that scenario.
Yeah. And Valade has had some good moments as well. Yeah. So it's a tricky one.
Valade's look fine. His numbers aren't as good, but he's looked, just eye test has looked pretty good. And yeah. Fraley's been fine as well. So that's kind of what I'm watching the most over these last couple of games is where did those 4 guys stack up as we get to opening day? And, you know, what is their tolerance for letting go of any of the guys like Lux or Fraley that we've talked about during the offseason, which we kind of think they're not going to, but I don't know what their tolerance level is around that.
No, I don't think any of those guys are making loads of money. So it wouldn't be tons of dead money to drop, but yeah, it would be like that when they're gone, they're gone. So it's whether or not you want to.
Well, and one other note, as we're talking about these guys, Valade has the most at bats of anybody so far this spring.
Yeah. Interesting.
I think that's notable. I think that tells me that they want him to work out. They think this guy has something. And it is starting to feel I can see it. I can see him, but I can't remember his name right now. Luke Raley. It's starting to feel very Luke Raley right now.
They just seem to
see something there. I mean, we'll have to see, but I think you're probably right in that Williams will start in AAA, but I'm very intrigued to see. Lux is the one. I don't think it's been a secret. I've never been a huge Gavin Lux fan, ever since we have brought him on. So it wouldn't really it would be no skin off my knuckles if he never made it to the team. But I think they probably have paid him too much to do that. So I'm watching that very closely.
Yeah, they've made a few cuts as well. A few rounds of cuts have happened.
Yeah.
Nothing truly kind of like, oh my God, he's being cut. I guess the only one that you could maybe look at, Joe Rock went down. Victor Mesa Jr. went down. Mm-hmm. Jesse Shaltons. He had a good start to spring.
Yeah, we talked about him a little bit as like, could this guy maybe make some noise? But they've sent him to Durham, which is fine.
Yeah, yeah. And Dom Keegan as well.
Yeah.
He's also gone down, which he had an outside shot of making the roster. He wasn't like definitely going to Durham, but yeah, he'd been sent down too. And the only other one that I was going to bring up was, I can't even remember who it was anymore. Oh, the other transaction that's worth noting is the Rays acquired Matthew Hoskins from the Royals as the player to be named later in the Cameron Mantyn trade.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Not tons to say about him at this point. I got not much to say about him at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it's another guy that we'll just have to kind of watch him. See what he can do. But yeah, I'm not too much to say at this time.
No, I think he was drafted earlier this year. So
yeah,
well, 2025 he was drafted. So. Yeah. Any other spring pitching notes? I got nothing. I got nothing with spring pitching. It's happening. Yeah, Ian Seymour is getting a lot to do. He's had the most innings.
Another one that's like, I think worth noting, but also not shocking. I think he's a guy that they are planning to be a big part of the team at some point. I think that Joe Boyle continues to look good. We've mentioned him a couple of times. He continues to look good. McClanahan's looked fine.
Yeah, Biggie's looking good.
Yeah, Biggie's looking good. Nothing is like, nothing is either, there's nothing that is like, it's really scaring me or really just like, I'm just like blown away. It's a lot of just sort of, hey, yeah, that's basically what we expected to happen. So nothing crazy. And really, I think, you know, if you get through spring training and nobody gets hurt, you're pretty happy. And that's what we've done so far. So if we can keep that up, I think I'll be pretty happy with that.
100%. Yeah. Let's talk about the division, shall we?
Let's do it. Before we talk about the division, though, you know, I think that I mentioned before that when you're getting through spring training, the goal is to just ensure that everything is working the way that it's supposed to and that you don't have any issues and that you feel confident going into the season. And, you know, as you walk out of your house every day, you want to have that confidence to know everything's working properly. And one way to make sure that you are getting that to the highest level is to go to shop.rblarsports.com, where you can use promo code Floppy to get 10% off of your entire order there. What can you order there, you may ask? You can order all the best merch inspired by your favorite Tampa sports teams, Rowdies, Bucks, Lightning, Rays, Sun. It's all there for you. Shop.rblarsports.com.
Yeah, yeah. They are. You know what? You never need to reshuffle that roster once those guys are there. But a team that has also not completely reshuffled this roster are the Baltimore Orioles. They've made a couple of moves, but they've added Pete Alonso to that lineup, which is a dangerous bat in the middle there.
Yeah.
But their main focus was on pitching. Their lineup, apart from Alonso, is pretty much the exact same thing as last year. With, you know, Gunnar Henderson, Adley Rutschman, those kind of guys to kind of carry it. Tyler O'Neill's a supplementary piece, Kobe Mayo, Ryan Mountcastle. The main thing they focused on, though, was the rotation, where they added Shane Baz from the Rays and Chris Bassett as a free agent as well, to kind of round out a rotation with Eflin, Bradish, and Trevor Rogers. They got rid of Grayson Rodriguez as well. They decided to cut ties with him. The Orioles, I felt like, were a team last year that really underperformed what was expected of them. They were division winners in 2023. They made the playoffs in 2024. In 2025, not happening for them.
Yeah.
Do you care about this Orioles team? Do you think they're going to come back?
I don't. I am. It's hard for me to ignore a lineup that has Pete Alonso and Gunnar Henderson in it. But I just, like, their pitching is just so lackluster. I just am not scared of anybody. Like, who am I scared of in their rotation?
Zach Eflin? No.
Zach Eflin, Chris Bassett, Shane Baz.
Baz, Bradish, Rogers are all guys that can take over games, but don't always.
Yes. I'm not saying they're going to be bad necessarily, but I just if I'm ranking the teams that I'm the most scared of in our division, I think the Orioles are still at the bottom. Nothing they did really moves me very much, because I think that some of their prospects, we're down on them a little bit. I think, you know, Henderson is still very good, but when you look at the rest of their like young core of like top guys, they're all underwhelming a little bit, especially Adley Rutschman. And so you kind of need to bring in a Pete Alonso to offset some of those guys who are not up to snuff anymore. And, you know, of course they could all turn it back around and be awesome, but I think that's not, I don't think that would be the prediction going into this season. Good for the Orioles that they went out and got Pete Alonso. I think as a fan, you love to see a team doing something like that, but I am not scared of the Baltimore Orioles.
No, me neither. They finished two games below us last year. I think they probably improved more than we improved over the off season, maybe. But I don't think they're a playoff. It's hard to believe them as a playoff team.
I don't think that obviously we did not add anybody at the caliber of Pete Alonso.
No.
But I also think we didn't have, I think a lot of the issues with our team last year were not necessarily like they weren't necessarily because of the caliber of players. We just got some underperformance, and we also had some injuries to some of our pitching. With like McClanahan being out.
Okay, so moving on to the team that was third place last year is a team that had a very busy offseason, and that was the Red Sox. The Red Sox acquired Wilson Contreras from the Cardinals. He's going to most likely play first base for them. They also acquired Caleb Durbin from the Brewers, who's currently penciled in to be their primary third baseman, but it could be Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, who also got signed as a free agent. They lost Alex Bregman, which was a huge blow to them. They did not win the stick, but they also went out and really shored up their pitching. They went and got Ranger Suarez as a huge free agent signing. They traded for Sonny Gray from the Cardinals. They also went and got Danny Colombe. They also went and got Ryan Watson as relievers. They were a team that finished third in the division. They are going to have a full year of their kind of big three prospects of Roman Anthony and Marcelo Maya and what's the other one called?
Rafaela.
Not Rafaela, but Christian Campbell.
Yes.
So this is a team that looked good last year for stretches, just went through kind of streaks. And now look a bit more solid around the floor. I think their rotation looks better than it did last year, but they also lost Alex Bregman, who was like their best hitter when healthy. So it's an interesting one. How do you feel about the Red Sox?
I think that the Red Sox are... I think that outside of the Rays, I'm the most interested to watch the Red Sox. I picked the Red Sox to win the division last year because I thought that if all their players played to the best of their ability, they're going to be an amazing team. They've got some incredible talent, but there's a lot of question marks around that. Like Roman Anthony, I think is a pretty sure thing. Like he will be a good all-star caliber guy. But when you look at the rest of the lineup, it's a lot of questions. Like, Marcelo Meyer, will he work out? We'll see. Trevor Story, can he stay healthy? Jaron Duran, I don't really know what to say about Jaron Duran. There's a lot weird just going on with him. And so, like, those guys, there's a lot of guys that they think can be really good, but what will they be able to actually do? Can Masataka Yoshida, can he find a way to kind of find it? He's had flashes of greatness his entire career in Major League Baseball, but has had a hard time being consistently excellent. Can he find a way to do that? And then from a pitching perspective, obviously getting Suarez was a big move. They still have Crochet. He's awesome. Bayo, does he take the next step? They've still got Chapman back there and Whitlock back there in the bullpen. They've got a lot of really good pieces. I would say that if we're talking about like teams I'm scared of, I am scared of the best version of this team. I'll put it that way. If everybody's playing to their potential, this is a concerning team for me. But like if I was putting the percentage chance at that actually happening, it's probably closer to like a 50 to 60% chance they actually do that. So at that point, they become less scary.
Sure. Okay. I'm also like this Red Sox team could win the division. They could also like finish fourth and crash out.
Yes,
I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yes. I completely agree with you about the lineup that you're just like, I'm not sure. I like their rotation. I like their pitching, but their lineup. Yeah. And you just, with so many young guys, they could do well. They might not do well. It's hard to say, you know. It's like when we had Junior last year, we were like, he should be good, but we don't know for sure. He could be like, okay, and that would be fine for a guy that's 21. So it's interesting.
I think that like the other thing about them too is they're the top of their bullpen with Chapman and Whitlock is very good. And I'm very iffy on the rest of it. So we'll see. Like, I don't know much about a lot of these other guys, and nothing, you know, in a cursory preliminary look at them is like blowing me away. So that's also something for me to watch. But I agree with you. The rotation's going to be one of the best in baseball, I think, when you look at this at the end of the season.
Yeah. Okay. Next up, we have the reigning American League champion, Toronto Blue Jays. They They didn't do that much on the position player side. They kind of ran it back.
Yeah.
The only thing they did was they got Okamoto from the MPB. Mm-hmm. He might be good. He's projected to be an above average hitter. But again, guys from Japan, you just never know how they're going to work. They're a wild card. The main focus was on the pitching for them. They went and got Cody Ponce from the KBO, and they got Dylan Cease. That was their big move. They got Dylan Cease from as a free agent from San Diego. They also got Tyler Rogers to kind of build out their bullpen a little bit more. They've got an interesting team. They've got some guys that are injured as well, like Shane Bieber, Jose Barrios. Don't know when they're going to come back. So same with Yimi Garcia, who was doing great for them out of the bullpen. How do you feel about the Blue Jays? I personally feel like the Blue Jays, particularly in the playoffs, overperformed a little bit. I don't think they were the best team in the world. I don't think they were the best team in the division. I don't even think they were the second best team in the division. I think there's going to be a bit of a crash back to earth for them. But they've got some, you know, their top talent is great. Like, Vladdy Jr., incredible. Kirk, really good. Kevin Gossman can be really good. I think Cease can be really good. I think they were a team that was kind of more than the sum of their parts, if that makes sense. But I see the Red Sox overtaking them, the Blue Jays being third in the division.
Yeah, I think their bullpen helped them a lot. They have a pretty good bullpen. And I think I think bullpens are a big part of success in the postseason. You just have to have a lot of good pitchers because somebody's going to have a bad outing and you have to have somebody else to go to. And they did for a lot of the postseason. They've also got a good balance of young guys and experience. Especially in the rotation, some of that still and the pitching staff, some of that in the position players, but they definitely skew younger. And from the position player side, they've got George Springer, who is 36, which is kind of crazy. He doesn't seem like he should be that old, but he is. And the rest of their guys are all 30 or younger. And so a lot of youth in the lineup there. I think what's going to be interesting to see is how does this team handle success? They finally got it after years of chasing it. Now what? I think it's interesting that they moved on from Bichette. This is a guy that was kind of a part of their core for a long time. Bassett was as well. And so I'm probably forever burned by Yoshi when it comes to KBO guys. So I don't know what to think about Okamoto. And same thing with Ponce. And so they could be great, but until I'm very much that I'm going to need to see it to believe it, because I was a Yoshi truther for a long time. And so I'm pretty burned by that. So we'll see. I am probably, like, if I were to guess, I'm probably putting them at like finishing second or third. I don't think they're going to win the division again this year, but I don't think they're going to be, I don't think them being last is on the board. Let me just put it that way.
No. No, I don't. They're not a outstanding super team, but they're not a bad team by any stretch. And then we got the New York Yankees. And I guess the thing about the New York Yankees was like their offseason was really weird. It was like they didn't go get anyone. They signed Randall Grichuk. They traded for Ryan Weathers to join their rotation. And that's it. The main thing they did was keep Cody Bellinger. That was the big thing. They were like, we need to keep this guy. And they did. But they let Paul Goldschmidt go. It looks like Ben Rice is going to be the first baseman for them going forward. But adding around the edges for the Yankees. No kind of big money moves other than keeping Cody Bellinger. But that's, you know, net neutral as a move. Interesting that the Yankees haven't really moved themselves that in any real direction.
I also think that they kind of did a thing during the trade deadline where they revamped their bullpen. And then basically all of the guys that were a big part of their previous bullpens, they let go. So Devin Williams, gone. Luke Weaver, gone. Mark Leiter Jr., gone. Ian Hamilton, gone. Jonathan Loaisiga, gone. That's a lot of guys that, like, those were guys that we had seen for – some of them for multiple years in the Yankees bullpen, all gone now. And now they're relying on David Bednar, Camilo Duvall, Fernando Cruz. Good guys. You know, Paul Blackburn, Ryan Yarbrough. Hi, Yarbs. By the way, Ryan Yarbrough, 7 years MLB service time.
Yeah.
So he's getting doing the thing. He's going to make it to 10.
I think so.
He's going to make it to 10. So. And good for him. I hope he does. Wouldn't it be fun if he came back like in a couple of years and to get to his 10 years with the Rays, pitch a couple games, get to 10 years. That'd be fun. I'm just going to put that. I'm going to put that out there into the universe and hope that that happens. But I have to say, I am beyond underwhelmed with the Yankees offseason. It's just a team that has been so close so many times, and you know the talent that's there. If I was a Yankees fan, I would feel pretty upset about their offseason.
Yeah. Maybe they're banking on the guys that they've got currently injured who are due to return at points throughout the season, like Gerrit Cole, like Carlos Rodon, like Anthony Volpe, kind of coming back and being the difference makers. They'll be like, it's like getting a new guy at the trade deadline. It's like nobody else can go out there and say they acquired Gerrit Cole, you know, that old thing. I don't know anybody who said that before.
I don't know anybody who said things like that before.
It's the worst thing a GM can say when we're like, please make a trade. And they're like, well, we're going to get this guy back from injury. And that's just as good. It's like, no. The Yankees are an interesting team. It's the same old story with the Yankees. If Aaron Judge gets a long-term injury, they are so cooked. Like, they have the best player in the world on their team, and that will get them to the playoffs. Aaron Judge on his own can get you to the playoffs. It's just after that, the lineup is good. There's some players that I really like on this Yankees lineup. I like Bellinger. I like Ben Rice. I like Austin Wells. Heck, even Ryan McMahon, I don't hate. But, it's... an interesting. Oh, to be fair, Goldschmidt did resign with the Yankees. I got that wrong, by the way.
That's Goldschmidt. Like the guys that when you're talking about like what happens if Judge gets injured for any point in time, which feels a little unfair to criticize because of that, because that could happen to anyone. But there's just so like Cody Bellinger right now works because he's got Judge's line of protection. Same thing with Grisham. If you lose Judge. Who like are you now relying on, you know, 37-year-old Giancarlo Stanton to like prop up your lineup? Or, you know, Cody Bellinger reformed, looks great. Is he going to continue to look this good, or will he ever like have a season where he kind of goes back to what he had been previously for a little bit? Like, I don't know, man. I am And you know, Gerrit Cole, Carlos Rodon coming back from injuries. Like, I don't know, man. Volpe and Cabrera, two guys that have been kind of big time prospects for them, also injured. I don't know, man. I smell a bad season.
Ooh. Okay.
I smell a bad season.
We've talked about them all. How do you see the division shaking out?
So, here's what I see. I see Orioles at the bottom.
Okay.
This is going to be a competitive division. Nobody's going to be terrible. I'm going to see the Orioles at the bottom. This is maybe going to get me in trouble. I see Yankees in fourth. I see the Rays finishing third. I see the Blue Jays. Like, I know I just said I don't know if they're going to win the division again, but I actually think they are going to win the division again, and I think that the Red Sox are going to be second, and it's going to be very close between those two most of the season.
Wow. Okay. So the way I'm doing this, and we'll look back in this at the end of the season and laugh, I'm going to say it's going to go Orioles at the bottom. I think the Rays are going to finish in fourth. I think we don't have the sauce and there's too many question marks, but again, they could come and surprise me. Then I think it's going to go Blue Jays, and then I think it's going to be Yankees, then Red Sox.
Okay.
I think the Red Sox have the most like I think the Red Sox have the highest ceiling. And I'm banking on that.
I have to tell you, I went into this week, like, as we're like thinking about what we were going to talk about for this episode, like looking into these guys, I went into this week expecting to have the Yankees be my pick for the to win the division. But I just am so underwhelmed. They kept Boone. Like, I think they're due for another rough season. And I know they had a rough season a couple of years ago. I think they're due for another one. I don't like this team at all.
That's very fair. That's very fair.
I just don't like this team.
I think they can hit their way to being a good team, but I don't think they're a great team.
Yeah. Is there a great team in this division? Is there a great team in this division?
I don't think there's a great team in the American League.
Yeah.
Like, the Royals aren't good enough. The Guardians aren't great. The Astros are probably the closest, maybe. The Mariners, maybe. Detroit. It feels like they're missing something, doesn't it? Detroit. It feels like they're like missing a big star.
Yeah, I think that. Yeah.
Like, Scooble's amazing, but who's the hitter? Who's the hitter that you are?
Well, I think Riley Green could be.
He could be. He's got the tools, but yeah.
But they got Tarik Skubal. They got Framber Valdez. I feel like that went under the radar. Jack Flaherty. They still got Verlander came back for them. And Casey Mize.
Yeah.
For their rotation.
It's a good rotation. I like their pitching. I think their lineup is so-so.
Yeah.
And then the Astros and Mariners, like the Mariners could be really good. Again, they just are lacking like a real consistently great hitter. Raleigh's almost there.
Raleigh could become that officially this season. And you hope that Julio Rodriguez stays healthy because he can be that for them too. And, you know, Randy's just hanging out there in their lineup. Yeah. You know,
he had a good year last year.
He did have a good year last year.
Yeah.
But I don't know why. I just don't trust their pitching. It looks like it should be really good. Brian Wu, Logan Gilbert, Castillo, Kirby.
That's a great rotation.
It should be a great rotation. I don't know why. I just don't trust their rotation.
And the Astros, I like the Astros to an extent, but again, it's like such a top heavy lineup. Like the bottom of their lineup is literally nothing. Like, you know, Altuve, Alvarez, Paredes, Correa, even Christian Walker. You go, okay. And then it's like, after that, it's like Joey Lupofido, Cam Smith, Jake Myers, you know, it's not much, but you know, Hunter Brown's good. They've got some, probably the Mariners are the best team in the West, I would say.
Yeah. I think the American League is wide open.
100%. I think, you know, compared to the likes of the Mets and the Phillies and the Dodgers, even what the Cubs are starting to build, you're like, okay, probably not the Cubs. Cubs aren't a great team yet, but you definitely would put like the Phillies, the Mets, the Dodgers, the Padres maybe, all up there. And we just don't have one in the American League. It's wide open and the Rays could sneak in.
I think, and spoiler a little bit, but I think, I don't know. I'm starting. Junior's making me believe again a little bit. I want to believe. I don't think we're winning a division, but could we sneak into a wild card spot?
Yes. Yes, we could. And let's hope that happens. And we'll talk more about our kind of more general predictions next time.
Guys, baseball is like almost back. This is exciting. Next week, predictions for the season, for the team, for the players, for the opening day roster. And then when we see you again on the 25th or the 26th, it'll be the 29th or the 30th, I believe. We will have been playing baseball. There will be games playing the 26th of March, opening day for the Rays. I mean, it's what's right there. We can taste it. So grateful for all of y'all that have stuck with us throughout the offseason. We appreciate all of you. We are very excited to hear what all of you have to say about this season. We want to hear from you over on YouTube. Drop a comment. We'd love to know what you think about the division. Do you think that the Yankees are going to run away with it? Do you think that the Orioles are going to have a renaissance and be amazing again this year? We'd love to hear from you guys over there. If you are over there dropping us a comment, letting us know what you think, do us a huge favor and drop a subscribe or a follow wherever you're enjoying the show. We appreciate all you guys. We're so close, guys.
So close. So close. I guess one thing to keep an eye out before we get there, we got a spring breakout game. Our spring breakout game is on the 19th. Against the Mets. So keep an eye on some fun prospects there. And then Cardinals opening day is coming up. It's so close.
So close. So close. We've enjoyed talking baseball this entire offseason and, you know, thinking about what happened last year and previewing what's to come. But at the end of the day, we're here. We're excited for baseball. It's so soon. And the whole offseason has been leading up to regular season starting again. And all regular season long, no matter what happens, it's going to be raise up here.
Raise up.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLI Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.